We're going to be looking at Matthew 25 today, as you will have gathered from Kenny's wonderful reading. Now, we know that we're living in the end times from Acts chapter 2. And in Matthew 24, Jesus has just left the temple. He's sat at the Mount of Olives and he's talking about what will happen in the end times. He says how the exact day and hour no one knows, not even heaven's angels, and that this will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, how they were having a good time right up until the day Noah boarded the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood hit and swept them away. So this is strong imagery here that Jesus is using to talk about his return. And he's saying, stay awake, alert, you have no idea when your master will show up. And then we read about how Jesus gives this story of the virgins, which it might sound a little bit weird to us, or even a little bit uncomfortable, but this imagery would not have been unfamiliar to Jesus's audience. Weddings were major community events, and it was common practice, it was normal for the bridegroom to collect the bride in the night. And these bridesmaids, who were not random women, they were the bridesmaids, they would wait with lamps to escort the bridegroom and his companions to the wedding. And the nighttime processions required lights or lamps or these torches for visibility and celebration. And the listeners at this time, they would have understood oil as something tied to worship, anointing, or readiness. And it was their honour and their duty, their job, to receive the groom. And if you weren't ready, that was embarrassing and very shameful. So we read that five were silly and five were smart. This is the Message translation. The silly virgins took lamps, but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they all fell asleep. Verse 6, in the middle of the night, someone yelled out, "He's here! The bridegroom's here! Go out and greet him!" And Jesus is communicating this idea here again that the Messiah will come unexpectedly. It's not going to happen when the people may expect it to happen. And so there's this waiting period. Now, it's okay that we don't know when Jesus is returning to earth. We're not expected to know that or have some kind of divine revelation about the specific date or hour, because his word says no one knows the day or the hour, not even heaven's angels. So if someone's giving a prophecy about end times and all the details, they might throw a little bit of revelation in there, then my question would be, why? Because even the angels of heaven don't know. So let me just take this opportunity to encourage you just to filter some of the rubbish that's out there. Don't even give it a view on social media. Don't give it the attention or space. And instead of listening to some of these folks or social media stars, why not pick up a good commentary? And you can get some tips about that from Pastor's Library. So is it the case that actually God has set a specific time and date just now? Is it all set in stone? Well, what we do know is what the Word of God tells us in 2 Peter, that he is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end, because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Now, this idea of the end and the day of judgment, it can seem hard for us to reconcile this idea with the idea of a loving God. But here are a few points that we know from the word. Firstly, he's giving everyone space and time to change, so that's even people committing evil acts, they're getting the opportunity to change. Note, he's not forcing anyone to change. There is free will. God lets us decide what we want. And God is actually pretty inclusive, in that even people that have committed terrible acts can be accepted into his kingdom. Even people that are excluded by maybe all the other corners of society, because he doesn't want anyone lost, but they have to repent and believe. And all of this implies that God is affected by people being lost. May I suggest that it hurts God when he sees people lost and continually rejecting him? We know that it affects him when he sees wickedness, Genesis 6:6. We have a God who cares, and he's willing to help us, and we need to pray, and we know there's power in our prayers. So there's this delay or waiting period of the wedding, and the weddings, they had an uncertain timeline where the father's house would be made ready and the groom would come when his father's house was ready. Matthew 25, the bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him. In other words, perhaps Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be returning imminently, or when you think there's going to be a wait, there's still some work that's being done. In John 14, Jesus talks about how he's on his way to get a room ready for us, and how he'll come back and get us so we can live where he lives, and how he is the way, the truth and the life. And he talks again about how he shall return. So, the lamps and the oil. There is a sense here of the bridesmaids' own responsibility. They have their own lamps. And the oil, that's their responsibility. They have to get the oil. They have to make sure that they have enough oil. And the oil here is about spiritual preparedness. And to the listeners at this time, they would have understood the oil as something being tied to the worship, anointing, readiness. And the word oil here in Greek is about the indwelling or empowering of the Holy Spirit. A lamp without oil is useless. It can't possibly produce light. The silly virgins took lamps but no extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. And on a regular basis, to keep the torch going, they would need to be dipping their rags in the oil to keep the fire burning. They'd have to keep dipping the rags in oil. And so there's something in here about preparedness and consistency. They have to keep dipping the rags in the oil to keep the light going. We have to be regularly re-oiling ourselves, so to speak, to keep the fire burning, to stay ready, regularly inviting the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, regularly spending that time in his presence. It has to be often, consistent, all the time. One time isn't enough. We're going to run out. It's a daily choice. It's a way of living that we spend that time with the Holy Spirit, listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying us. Do you remember when John Mosey came and he spoke to us about that, about taking time to spend with the Holy Spirit and to listen to what he's saying to us? Verse 7 to 8, the 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil. Verse 9, they answered, there might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own. A couple of observations here. So rather than taking responsibility for themselves here, the silly ones, as it's translated in the Message translation, rather than making that effort at any time to leg it out and get some oil, they immediately turn to those who have been prepared, those who have put the effort in, brought their own oil, to give them their oil for their lamps. Also, would it not be that the silly ones surely must have been able to see or realise themselves that there's not going to be enough oil to last for everyone? Perhaps they're just in this survival mode where they just want to make sure, the silly ones, they just want to make sure that they're going to be okay. But there might not be enough to go around, go by your own. So this isn't just that our filling with the Holy Spirit, our own filling, isn't enough for someone else, that they have to have this for themselves. But could it be that there's something in here about protecting what we have set aside for Jesus? Protecting our dedication to him in the waiting, protecting our personal time with the Holy Spirit, in which we're refueling ourselves, we're receiving him into our lives, where he supplies us with that fuel that we need to keep the fire burning. We can't actually make someone else prepared. We can't keep someone else's lamp burning for them. Because how many of you know it takes all our efforts just to keep our own going, yeah? Our dedication to God as we wait for his return is a responsibility that each one of us has to ourselves. Nobody else can save us. We have to get the oil ourselves. We have to ourselves invite the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. It has to be a genuine relationship that we have ourselves. It's not something that we can get through those around us or those we're associated with. Verse 11, much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door saying, "Master, we're here, let us in." He answered, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you." The bridal party, they'd be known to the bride. But some of those who apparently had the right to be there, Jesus says, "I don't know you." It's not about who you look to be, your status. That doesn't guarantee inclusion. In Matthew 23, just before this earlier, Jesus is addressing the performance shows of the religious leaders and the Pharisees of the day. He's addressing the hypocrisy. It's not about who you know or how you look. It's about having a personal relationship with God. And we need to make sure that our connection with Jesus is not just that we hang around at church or that we look the part or that even that we're with other believers, but that we have our own personal connection with God. And we see here there's this clear division that takes place between believers and non-believers. The lamps needed to be well oiled to resist the breeze. How many of you know that life can sometimes blow a strong breeze our way? Yeah. And the question is, will our flame stay burning through it? Are we prepared for gusts of wind? We need to be, because they will come. And this is why it's so important to be constantly oiled, to be rooted in the Spirit and God's word. Scott McKnight comments, "So be awake, be ready, be wise. The wise begin now to follow Jesus daily. The wise begin now to know God, know themselves and to know others. The wise are awake and aware." And note here, isn't it interesting that they all fall asleep? The smart and the silly ones. They all fall asleep, but regardless, the smart virgins took immediate action and they had the oil that they needed in the waiting. The reality is that we're all human and we're all going to get tired. We're all going to get weary. But the issue wasn't that the issue with the silly ones, it wasn't that they went to sleep, it was that they didn't know what they needed to do before they rested. They didn't do, what they needed to do before they rested. They didn't prepare. And Jesus is saying to us to be ready and to be prepared. There's a time to rest, but you know, we've got to make sure we're all ready first. And it doesn't mean being slack. So, what can we take from this in conclusion? Jesus is going to return to this earth. There will be a new heaven and earth in which he wants us to participate in. And we need to be thinking about this, expecting at all times and living for this purpose. Jesus is going to return. Our dedication to God, keeping the fire burning until Jesus comes back, that's our responsibility. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you feel someone has tried to take away your oil or take away your flame. Perhaps you've been through a difficult situation and you feel like you've just had cold water poured on you, poured on the flame. Maybe it's been a period of depression or loneliness. Maybe you feel like you have been beaten and you have nothing left. You have no oil left. Run to the Holy Spirit. Don't wait until it's too late. If you're not feeling like the flame is burning, if you're not feeling like the presence of the Holy Spirit is with you, keep asking the Holy Spirit for help. Keep turning to him. Keep oiling the rags. Sometimes in church we can have an expectation that being filled or strengthened by the Holy Spirit will be an incredible emotional experience. And the reality is, that's not always the case. I've spent most of my life growing up in church, and I can count on the number, I can count on my hand the number of times when I've really had a wow experience. So don't feel discouraged if you're not having a massive emotional experience. That's okay. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't working in and around you, because we know that he's always working for our good. If you're not sure what to do, just keep dipping the rags. Keep opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit and inviting him in to transform you. Keep taking time to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you, and allowing him to transform you. The obvious point here, of course, is that the Holy Spirit keeps the fire aflame. And this isn't a human teacher. It's not about human teaching or anything else. And in Matthew 23, when Jesus is addressing the hypocrisy of the time, he's saying, don't set up a religious leader or a person as the expert of your life. We're all classmates. And the teacher of us all is Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the one that empowers us to keep going. It's the Holy Spirit that is the source that we need to turn to. And perhaps some of us need to reevaluate some of our relationships and just remind ourselves that our motivation isn't to come from one person on this earth alone. Our fuel source isn't a popular preacher. Our fuel source isn't your pastor. Our fuel source isn't even your partner. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that we need. I want to encourage you this afternoon, if you feel like the flame has dimmed, maybe you feel like it's gone out, maybe you feel like there's no oil left, I want to encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit once again for a fresh touch, for fresh oil. Keep the lamp burning. It's a matter of life or death. It's only those that have the lamp burning when Jesus arrives that will be able to get into the feast. It's really important that we spend time with the Holy Spirit. It's really important that we stay ready for his return. We need to keep an eternal perspective. Maintaining our relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, is more important than anything else. And how many of you know we have loads of distractions? Lots of distractions all around us. And I want to ask us, are we really prioritizing our time listening to the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit? It's more important than what we wear, how people perceive us, our house, our possessions, our clothes. We know our treasure is in heaven. Now, we know that there are people that sometimes teach in the church that that job, that car, that luxury holiday, how comfortable your life is, your salary, your social media following, that's what shows the level of the favor of God on you. How many of you know it's not the favor of God that we need like that, but it's the Holy Spirit. Our treasure is in heaven, not on this earth. And again, I would just encourage you, some of these things that may pop up on your social media feed, just think before you even give them the time of day. Keep coming back to the Word. You know, don't even believe everything that I say, that Pastor Steve says. You have to take your Bible, read it for yourself. You have to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Most of you know I've been away for a few weeks and was in a rural area of France recently, and my flight was at such a time which allowed me to basically leg it to a local church when I got off the plane. And so the first thing that I did was leg it to church, and I got to this church and there were maybe about 16 people there, and there was no teas or coffees, and it was all in French. And if you know me, you know that my French is terrible. And wow, I was so blessed because the presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerful in that place. You know, they didn't have a stage, they didn't have nice lighting, I don't even think they had enough mics for everyone. And there they were, and what an incredible time, because the presence of the Holy Spirit was there. And you know, what we need to prioritize is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is what we need, or who we need. So let's have a time now. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to encourage us. And for any of you who feel like the flame has been dimming or like you're running out of oil, we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come now and to bring us at what we, the language we use in churches, and it is a fresh touch. We're asking him to strengthen us, to refresh us, to provide us with those things that he sees that we need. So Holy Spirit, we just turn to you for our help. We need all the oil, all the help that we can get as we wait for Jesus' return. Jesus, we thank you that you will return, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We thank you that nothing that we do for you on this earth is wasted. We thank you, Lord, that you see it all. We thank you that there is a reward, and we thank you that our treasure is in heaven. But Father, we recognize that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to spend time with you, to ensure that we keep that personal connection with you, and to hear what it is that you are saying to us. So Holy Spirit, we're just asking you now to fall on us afresh.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.